Hey, Mike.
Hey, Anna.
Have you received your package yet from DoorWest?
I did this week and just in time because it's fireworks season coming up, isn't it?
It is. And what you've got with this valerian compound and the skullcap and valerian tablets is a natural way to prepare your dog for the oncoming onslaught.
So yeah, so how does it really work then?
Well, it works by naturally relaxing dogs and it doesn't cause any drowsiness. So it just makes a dog feel less anxious in a whole variety of situations. But of course, at the moment, with fireworks coming up. But it's important to understand that when a dog is calm and relaxed, it's a perfect opportunity to train your dog, perhaps even desensitizing your dog with some sound therapy in advance as well.
And you're very keen on DoorWest, aren't you? You've used them for ages, haven't you?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Molly was a fan of several DoorWest products, like their Keeper's Mix, which is this great all-round, like a multivitamin herbal formula. But I love DoorWest as well because of their heritage. They're about to celebrate their 75th anniversary. And Joe Bowden-White, the current managing director, is third generation of what is a stalwart family business that's been helping support pets wellness for all this time.
And so if our listeners want to get some, where do they go?
Head over to the DoorWest.com website and maximize the 10% off for Dogs Life listeners by tapping in the promo code DOGSLIFE, all one word. And if you spend over £50, there's free delivery or simply call them on 01308 897 272. Hey, Mr. Binks, you know it's Halloween tomorrow. Oh, when things go all pumpkin and bat-like and spooky. Well, it's also time for trick and treating, which we approve of all year round. But we know it's important to feed the right treats and not to compromise feeding a natural diet with a super processed treat. That's why we're jumping on Zoom now to talk to Roz Lishak, the co-founder of By Benji. I'm Anna Webb. Welcome to A Dog's Life. Roz Lishak, welcome to A Dog's Life.
Anna Webb, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having us.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. It's kind of timely, really, because it is Halloween.
Indeed.
Halloween means a lot of trick and treating, doesn't it, Roz?
It's got to be had. And dressing up too, as we know by you and Mr. Binks, I have to say.
Well, we're dressing up. We have to be, you know, quite mindful in how we promote it, to be absolutely honest with you. I mean, yeah. You know, lots of dogs I see that are dressed up to the nines utterly hate it, you know.
Oh, for sure. But the odd pumpkin, you know, it is the season, but I hear you. I really do. No, trick-or-treating is perfectly allowed in my world.
Absolutely. And it's something that shouldn't just be restricted to Halloween. You know, we should be trick-or-treating every single day, Roz.
Goodness, bring on the canine enrichment. I couldn't agree more. That's what we're all about here.
Well, By Benji, it's quite a new brand, isn't it, Roz?
Yeah, we're about 6 years old, Anna. And I think that's probably when we first met you, to be honest. And do you know what? It's a funny thing about Biltong. If you'd asked somebody probably 6 years ago about Biltong, that they wouldn't know what the product was. And it's fabulous for us that it's come into the human world. I mean, 6 years ago, we were educating people. And now if you say to people about Biltong, they've actually heard about it because it is derivative of a human product. But that was the idea, Anna. That was the thing. It's a power-packed product for humans, pure, raw beef. And why not for dogs? Well, of course, the human variety, full of chilies and spices, not appropriate. But Richard, who is the founder and a South African, knew the power of it and therefore adapted it, took out all the things that aren't dog appropriate and trialed it. And it has been, as you say, it has been just a wonder and just the best approach of treating with the natural approach that you can find. I mean, I'll tell you about the secret spell if you really want to know.
Secret spell.
The spell.
Tell us more.
The magic formula that gets dogs under our spell, Anna, is the marinating. The beef is marinated. I mean, it's not rocket science. If you've got a slab of beef and then you've got a slab of marinated beef, you know, which one is the dog going to go for? And that's the secret. We marinate every piece and therefore their nose is attracted. And that leads you on to high value, I guess. That's the power of having something they can actually be attracted to.
Yes, I mean, when you say marinade, I mean, I think my dogs, to be honest, they're not fussy. You know, I do believe you train fussy eaters, actually.
Oh, gosh,
in
yes.
The main. You really do. I think it's the same with toddlers. Not that I've had one, so I don't really know. But, you know, those children that will only eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They're only fussy until they've found what they actually like. And then there you go. They're not fussy anymore.
Exactly. So, well, but I'm not asking you to disclose the secret spell of the marinade, but I do love that idea, actually, to kind of, I suppose, permeate the meat,
exactly.
Perhaps make it a little juicier.
That's exactly right. It does. It infuses and it takes time. You know, it's interesting what people can call a marinated treat or make. I call it niltong. If people say biltong is biltong, and if it's not marinated, I call it niltong. But actually, it takes time to permeate. That's exactly what it does. And we hang it and we replicate the natural process of biltong. I think in South Africa, I believe it was hung out to dry. And then the wind and warmth, Anna, it kind of, the meat just dries in the air with the wind and the natural elements, and therefore that with no direct heat, all the goodness stays in the beef, and that's the power of it. It stays dry. It's beautiful. In fact, the lovely thing, people were just talking to someone earlier today about using how they were surprised how dry it is to hand. You can imagine you're taking your goat out for training, sticking your hand within, you know, cheese and other things that might get all over your hand. With an air-dried treat, your hands are perfectly dry all year round, and that's one of the bonuses too. But with the flavour and the infusion, that's the secret. We do marinate and that keeps them under the spell.
The spell of By Benji. I know. I mean, my dogs, honestly, they know when there's By Benji in my pocket. But you've hit on so many interesting things from a dog training point of view there, Roz, that I champion all the time. My one thing is it frustrates me when people have their treats in packets when they're out training. Because by the time you've opened your packet, put your hand in, got the treat out, you've missed the moment. You may as well not bother at that point.
Exactly.
So I always say buy clothes with pockets. Once you have a dog in your life, you have to have pockets all the time. And always have some treats in your pocket, because you never know when you want to do a bit of positive reinforcement. Might be when you're on the platform waiting for a train or a bus stop. Might be when you're on the bus, just sitting there, really great to have a little treat to hand, just whip it out. And that's of course where air drying, you see, because, you know, I'm into feeding raw, everybody knows that. So that's why I love biltong, actually. I love By Benji, because it is essentially raw.
Absolutely.
And air drying
to raw, you're right.
No, absolutely. But you see, air drying for me, it is a processing technique, let's face it. I mean, even freezing, if you're going to get really technical about processing, you know, freezing is a processing, but that's going a bit extreme, okay? But air drying is really interesting, because I actually believe it's the least invasive, even than freeze drying. What do you think?
No, 100%. It really is the fact that you're letting letting nature do its work. We air dry it we call them built-on cabins, but if you can imagine, they're closed and the air is just rotated. It does absolutely replicate the natural air. There's no direct heat. There's no oven. There's no flame. It just lets the temperature of the air rotate around the product, and then again, that takes time. It's a slope, and so it should do to keep it natural. It takes time to create,
and you don't cut corners, which I like. You know,
we really don't.
You do take the time. I suppose what you could do, I suppose, is blast it in a sauna or something. And I don't know.
Do you know what? There must be some secret biltongers who do sneak a bit of biltong in the sauna, but why not?
Having a quick munch on it, maybe when they're in there at the same time. I don't
know. A luxury, why not?
But I love the range as well, because that's grown, hasn't it, since the start?
Indeed. What's lovely also, Anna, I know you know it very well, but just to say, it's one product, but in five different textures. So they all have a meaning. In fact, I know what you're asking. We will go into the fifth one, which is my latest baby, as it were. We've got the biltong itself, which is the biltong stick, and that's how it's that's hung. And many times you've seen yourself that we can still see the skew, a little hole at the top to prove where it's been hanging. And you can see that stick. And they're great for tug toys. They're also great for hanging on to the end and letting dogs have a good natural chew. Nothing better, as you know, for them to getting their dental regime. And flesh on flesh, it's the simplest way. I never know why people want to stick something plastic in a dog's mouth. I don't get it myself, but or something that is synthetic. The most natural way for a dog to get their saliva going is flesh on flesh, and we love seeing the dogs enjoying those. Plus, they can be cut down to a treat. So that's how we get the treats. So there's a treat size and a long stick. We also have, which I call the burger to the steak, Anna. It's the sausage, and that's so versatile. It's even more. It's still marinated, but it's beautiful that you can crumble it down to small pieces. And the latest thing is that we're calling them a pill popper. I call them a pill tom. Well, you know I would. If there's a pun, Anna, I'm going to find it.
A pill tom. Oh, good idea to put medication in.
You can stick medication. I mean, having great feedback by people who use the cut treats, but at the side end, just wrap the sausage around it. And of course, because it's high value with a good smell and a good aroma, they just concentrate on that. So the times that you spend with them getting in those eyes and then spitting the pill out, they will concentrate on the treat rather than the treatment. And I love the fact that they get another treat afterwards, and nothing is a problem by medication time. It just takes the strain out of that. But the latest one, I think you were hinting, which is my favorite, is our canine condiment, Anna. It's our biltong topper, which is becoming a game changer for so many ways. You can use it within toys, within canine enrichment toys, to sprinkle it over. It's a ground biltong with herbs. It's almost like a peppery, I say pepper, there isn't pepper, but it's a kind of that texture. Imagine grinding a pepper. It's that kind of texture. It's a sprinkle of a condiment, and it's a mixture of it. And also, I think you can use it on top of food. Now, I'll give you an example. We had lovely Rufus, one of our biltong ears. He's a little Pomeranian who had to change his diet. And bless him, he did love his food, but he had to change his diet. And I had a message from his owner. Didn't know what to do. He would turn up look at the bowl, look at his owner, and walk away. He just didn't want his food anymore. This was the new food regime. I said, you have to try this. So she took away a little pouch of the topper, and I've got a fantastic vid, which I could send you, of little Rufus having a sniff, looking up, getting a bit nearer, and having another sniff, and suddenly realizing that what was in the sprinkle, she'd sprinkled it over his food, and he thought it was by Benji. And the first time, it was very emotional, the first time he'd actually finished the plate. So it just encourages them, and it was just incredible. So it's very exciting, because we don't produce food, we're a treat, but we can get involved in people with their menus and having problems with their diet.
Well, no, it's a really good idea, you know. And I know when I get the By Benji out, I mean, I use it as a high value treat and reward, you know. And when you're training, it's good to have a range of different treats for different aspects of training. So if you're training a new trick, then you use something very high value. So that's when I'll grab the By Benji. Or you're training a puppy and you go in and people go, oh my God, that's amazing, Anna. Oh, how did you do that? And I think, oh, if only they knew. It's got a lot to do with the By Benji, I think.
It does. And it's interesting you talk about puppies too, Anna, because trainers are really keen. Again, if you're going to take your dog to a class, it's a bit like taking your child to school to do the homework, and they go home and they're using a different textbook. You're using a treat within a class that the trainer would recommend. So you need to take it home and consistently give them that, so that they know that they continue their practice, they continue their work. And we've had such wonderful feedback from young. They learn so much quicker and more forcefully with By Benji, with a high value. And you're absolutely right about a multiple range of treats. You shouldn't give a high value all the time. They've got to work for it. They've got to know what it is that they're doing is the reward.
Exactly. But I like to do, I love interactive toys, Roz. You know, they're so great to punctuate a dog's day. I mean, that's why Prudence is being quite quiet at the moment, as she is now tucking into a Kong. But I like By Benji in a Kong. And then just to kind of keep the By Benji in there, make it harder for Prue to get it out,
I'll
stuff banana, you know, because I love banana in a Kong.
Don't you wish you could be a dog?
And then, you know, you've got that, I always think, nice textures, contrasting textures.
Oh, 100%. It's all about the interest, isn't it? I think also it makes it last longer. I mean, you want them to be, I always call it like sort of the occupational therapy, or, you know, in some respect, it's self, they look after, they're self-independently looking after themselves by entertraining themselves. That's what we call it.
Entertraining. Gosh, that's a good one. I may have to use that.
I'll let you use that one, Anna.
I like that. Entertraining. But I don't think I've ever told you this, actually, Roz. Here we go. Drum roll.
Do.
My cat, Gremlin, goes bonkers for Bye Benji.
Oh, that's amazing. Actually, he's not the first, but that's incredible. I love the fact that that you're bipetrol.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, Gremlin. Oh, gosh, he's 12 now, you know, my cat. So he's been, he's a stalwart. You know, some people actually say he's the sanest person in this flat. Actually, well, I wonder why.
We get asked a lot whether we should produce a cat range, but you know what? Cats are far more mercurial. They'll someday yes, someday no. They'll do you a favor. And actually, there it is in its entirety. Just proof that Biltong is Biltong for dog and cat. I don't think we have to create something special. It is specifically for cats. If they like beef, then absolutely, you know, go for it. Proof.
Well, yeah, no, indeed. And I think, you know, if only people would try and train their cats a bit, you know, some people think it's impossible to train a cat, which is utter rubbish, actually.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah.
And again, feeding a cat as nature intended. I think, 100%. You know, there's less cats eating how they should eat than dogs, I think, now. Yeah, I don't know about that, actually. And I feel that if cats, you know, were fed on meat, which obviously they are obligate carnivores, they'd obviously be, you know, better, healthier and all the rest of it, you know, and more willing to learn.
It's interesting. And as well as raw, because we were on that subject, I know, people are more, you talk about food towards treat, we are a treat. But actually, if you think about it, I think there's a lot of focus of people obviously naturally concerned about the diet and their bowl. And, you know, it's almost as if the treat is the bridesmaid in some respect. You're careful and you put all that work into doing the correct feeding regime, food, you weigh it, you measure it, you consider it. And when it comes to a treat, people aren't always that conscious of things. I remember there was a story once, I don't know the results, but I'll just remind myself, is that I remember there was a family once who decided to actually find out who the weak link in the family was for a start, who fed the dog. But so they stuck a little camera onto the dog's collar for the day to see the dog's what the dog actually ate rather than what they thought the dog actually ate. And it was very interesting, as I say, to see who the weak link in the family was giving them the ends of their own treats. But actually, if you're careful that your dog is a little bit avarice, a little bit, you know, food driven, then why would you do all that great work in the bowl and not have a healthy treat? You know, why ruin it? If you think you're doing raw, you are concentrating on a raw diet, but not considering the treat. Surely everything goes out of balance.
You've got it in one. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've spoken out about this on quite a few occasions, to be honest with you. And it is where a lot of people fall over, mainly because, you know, obviously to have something, you know, technically raw in your pocket is a bit eek, and it's where air dried solutions really do come in into their own. So that's the thing. Yeah, it depends how extreme you are. I think I'm extreme. I will go out with a bit of cheese in my pocket if I have to, you know, that's fine. I don't mind if I smell of cheese. But
if you get hungry yourself there, Anna, you know.
Well, exactly, in case, you know, you're out walking, you might need a little snack, a little boost. Absolutely. But yeah. Yes, no, indeed. So again, to look at the whole regime of what you're feeding your dog, treats included, also as well to maintain weight, because a Bye Benji is not going to be at all fattening for your dog because it is 100% meat.
Yeah, I'll break it down for you.
Yes, go on.
The stick itself is the sticks itself are about 20 kcal, and they break down into 10. So each treat is approximately 2 kcal. So, you know, you can really factor that into a daily regime. And of course, treats are, I always say this to people, treats are a treat. Let's focus on the word treat. It's not the food. You know, don't eat the whole bag. They'll want to, but you don't have to. And the beautiful thing is, because of the taste, and you've seen this yourself, Anna, with the dogs licking their lips, that's the sign that they can still taste it. They will give you the puppy dog eyes, they will want another, but it's actually, they don't open the bag, you do. So you've got to be careful about really being quite strong and saying, no, you've had yours and enough. And I think that's a bigger problem as well. If only dogs could open the bags themselves.
Well, then I think they wouldn't stop. I think that's the one difference. They're scavengers, you know.
Exactly.
They're pre-programmed to think, well, this could be our last
this
meal.
This could be the last meal. You know? Yeah. So and I want it to be by then.
Yes. We want it, you know, to be the tastiest and the best. But I think what it is for me is that because by Benji is meat, okay,
yes.
rather than biscuit, for example.
Yes, nothing
the calories,
but.
Yeah. The calories they're consuming will be absorbed bioavailably through the gut and not create sugar, and then sugar creates fat. So that's really, in a way, why most of the dogs in the UK, well, there is this obesity crisis, 1 in 2, I think the animal welfare agencies are saying at the moment, is because, you know, most dogs do still eat a kibble-based diet, you see, which is between 40 and 70%
wow.
sugar. I know, yeah. you see, yeah. this is the thing. It's full of rice and barley and wheat and other ingredients. So rather than just pure meat. But this is why I'm so proud to be chatting with you, Roz, because I've Aww. Seen the journey of By Benji. And I love the way as well you have your throne.
We do. That all became, now, people have asked us about the throne. We are that crazy. When we do a show or a stand or we're out in a pavilion in a dog show or an exhibition, yes, we do have a living, breathing, live sofa with us on outside. It replicates basically what happened. We wanted dogs. This is way before sort of furniture became a big thing in the industry. We actually thought about the dog having that indulgent moment, just sitting back. And what do? You want to get on that furniture, lay back, enjoy your moment. And therefore, we just had this indulgent thought. The throne became an icon to our visitors. They make it to the stand. They walk the red carpet. They come and have their moment on the throne. And it has become a joint thing. It's become a symbiotic thing where I think the humans love it even more than the dogs now, so which is great. But I think also it's just part of the should we say the picture that we paint when we have our product. It really is indulgent, and just sit back and enjoy your moment.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, this whole idea of encouraging people to use the product wisely and for training is spreading such a positive message, Roz, because for me, you can never train your dog enough. You know, training a trick 100%. is great, but also training the right behaviour, so 100%. Stop pulling on the lead or, you know, barking when you're out and about, all of these different aspects. But training tricks is great fun. I mean, I'm quite proud. I love training tricks.
Oh, 100%. But I do think it's fair to say, though, if you ask any pet person what the most one element of training that they put more work into, it's obviously recall. I mean, these days you want your dog to stop what they're doing and recall. But the trick part of training is just astounding. We've had dogs on film doing dance. I mean, twirling, dancing, choosing. Even we have a little Poujon who actually loves ringing a bell for her treats. Bless her, little Sydney. Ring that bell and the treat will come. But they are far more intelligent. The more you can keep them interested in anything that they're doing, it breaks the boredom. We talk about boredom busters a lot in the trade, don't we? And we with anything that keeps their mind occupied, it just raises their game as happiness. And then again, if your dog's happy, you're happy ultimately.
Absolutely. And keeping dogs in sound mental health is so important.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as it is for us, you know, we know all about that on a human level.
We do.
I think it is important to tap into your dog's natural instincts to scavenge, find things, you know, hide a bit of By Benji under a plant pot in the garden, and then ask your dog to find it. That's a great game. And, you know, you can transfer that to being a tennis ball. That's how all, you know, explosive dogs begin their learning.
The craziest one I've had recently, and again, I will send you, I can't remember if you've seen it. We had a fantastic example of deep boredom busting. Somebody took an empty egg box and filled that up with a little By Benji, closed it, wrapped that in paper, put that in a box, put the box in another box, and just sat it in the middle of the room. And the dog sniffed and sniffed and sniffed, and then caught the end of the box and then went into the other box. I mean, I think the film when they sent me was actually sort of edited version. It took over an hour for this dog just to work it all out. But how fantastic a game is that? It's not expensive, a couple of boxes and an egg box, you know. That's boredom busting on basic level. It's just, you have to get creative and inventive with this. And I think, you know, the more you do, the more fun it is. And we've had some great results. We also, I know that, you know, we work with assistance dogs, we work with nervous dogs, and sort of also, you know, for agility, all the agility, fly ball and hoopers, they all have a purpose with a good high value treat. And at trick or treat time, we are amazed at the inventiveness and the creativity that we see with it. We really are.
No, I know it is Halloween. I might put Binx's hat, Mr. Binx, you know, the co-host obviously of A Dog's Life.
Mr. Yes, Binx. Who I call the one hit wonder, as you know, Anna.
I know the one hit wonder. Well, he is really. It's quite remarkable. I know, and we went to our best vets last week, uh-huh. and just for general checkups and all the rest of it. So yeah. I do that annually. And she said, Anna, gosh, I do think his leg is looking more muscly, you know. And
yeah,
so I'm really pleased. Mr. Binx,
you know,
he's
news,
doing
Mr.
so well.
B.
And he loves wearing his pumpkin hat. And
well,
then, of course,
he suits it.
And then he's got his orange equifleece, which then makes him look like a pumpkin, obviously. So I'm sure there'll be some posts coming out. But, you know, the funny thing, I mean, pumpkin as well, yeah. as well as biltong, is an extremely nutritious food also for dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So in a way, there's lots to be learnt from Halloween, training your dog, nutrition for your dog, yeah. having fun with your dog, and just enrichment, Roz.
On any level, there's no excuse. I have to say, this we talk about red letter days along the calendar, but this is one of them. I think the fact that we can have a trick or treat and gain something together as a bond. I'm a big fan of bonding between humans and hounds. It really is so important. And so on so many levels, as you said, over the last couple of years, I mean, particularly as we approach the shows, you must have seen it yourself, getting out and about now as we do. People are so excited to see each other. The dogs are happy that the humans are happy and everyone's back sort of sniffing around, and particularly for those dogs who emerged during lockdown. I mean, it's just seeing another dog. I mean, it's great. How important is socializing, for goodness sake? You know, it's any gathering of hounds is that we're big fans of. We really are.
Well, it is great, and it is a club, you know, it's a community. Yeah. And I think we're very lucky for dog owners to have, you know, pet parents to have all the events that we do now and have so many venues that are dog friendly, because honestly, yeah. it hasn't always been like this at all.
No, and I've just come back from another dog friendly cafe, and it's so important. The funny thing is, though, as you probably know, people talk to the dogs and not the humans. It's people come in and they recognize the dogs, that hello Freddie, hello Jeannie, you whatever the dog, and the, you know, you talk, people talk to the dogs, but their faces light up. I had the privilege a little while ago in my hospital radio world a little while ago, I was asked to go and follow pets as therapy, and you must have done this a lot, I know, and I went into Royal Free Hospital to follow a dog for the day who was doing his pet therapy visit. And the extraordinary thing that hit me really more than anything was, yes, it was for the patients, but the staff, obviously the strains of being a staff, all members of staff, as soon as they saw little Rolo, their face lit up. You know, what more can you say? It's just, they break down barriers, and they're, you know, it's therapy all on its own.
Well, I think honestly, yes, we can't really describe all of the benefits that dogs bring to mankind. Yeah. You know, saying yeah. they're man's best friend seems a little bit glib. You know, for 30,000 years, they've played this integral role, you know, and yeah. I think we just can't totally define it. Yes, they make us smile. Yes, they make us live longer. All of these things, we're constantly pushing science to try and get to the nub of it. But I think yes. it's because they're so ingrained in us. And what upsets me is that sometimes I think, you know, we're not doing justice to dogs. You know, there's yeah. a lot by Benji is, and bring that on, you know, and that's a great thing. But I think, you know, we could all do a little bit better. We could all train our dogs a little bit more. We could all walk our dogs a little bit more. You know what it's like. We
Absolutely.
Could all, there's always somewhere to go.
Yeah, exactly. And including them. I mean, I think this is the thing of society now. We talk about dog friendly cafes years ago, was quite the opposite. You wouldn't have wanted a dog to come in. I mean, wait outside, even places to tie your dogs up all the time. You know, thankfully more people are inclusive, and long may that happen. You know, we're big advocates of that for sure. And also of all the traditional methods as well, of of feeding all that we can, the authenticity of everything is what we're about, which is a big thing for us. It really is.
No, it's brilliant, and it certainly is reflected in the end product, Ros.
Although, thank you. As I say, it is a surprise. As I say, going back and saying it's an education, the importance of human biltong versus dog friendly biltong. Because I mean, with more biltong coming into the market, people think that you can just, well, I'll just give my dog the end. And of course, it's, so we all know those little bits drip into more and more, but it's the high salt content and it's the chilies and the spices and all the things that aren't dog appropriate that make biltong fun for humans, because of all of the full-on, you know, power pack of a human biltong. But of course, we stripped it back and we make it purely with herbs, and therefore it's utterly, in fact, if you want, I mean, it's healthier for humans. Of course, we can't sell it to humans, but actually we know of humans who do eat it.
Well, Ros, here we go. I must admit, here we go, the big admission. Sometimes I will have a little munch when I'm out.
I was waiting, Anna, one for me, you know, one for you, yeah.
That's it. It is awfully tasty, you know. So there we go.
You never go hungry on a walk with my Benji, you know that, don't you?
Indeed not. Oh, well, Ros, happy trick and treating, and Halloween.
And to you, listen, it's been a joy, and we hope to see you and Mr. Binks very, very soon.
You will, I'm sure. Can't wait.
Bless you, Anna. Take care.
That's our show, Mr. Binks. What do you think? Yes, I know you're a fan of By Benji. Yes, we could have some more in a minute. And yes, you're right, it is time for Woof of the Week. We know how important treats are, but don't undermine your natural diet by feeding over-processed treats. Stick to natural alternatives only. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. If you did, please rate and review the show wherever you tune into your podcasts. Thanks again to Ros Lishak for joining us today, and all the links to Buy Benji are in the show notes. Thanks, of course, to my producer, Mike Hansen, for all the production and music as usual. Find out more about him at Podpeople UK. And for me, I'm just at Anna Webb Dogs. What's that, Mr. Binks? Yes, you're right. We will be back in your feed next Sunday. So why don't you subscribe now? It's free. And that way you'll never miss another show. Bye for now.